Today we are in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and we pick up our study in verse 9. Hello everyone, this is Mike Moret, and you are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 25th study in the book of Deuteronomy, and Lord, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word that we are studying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. God is talking to Israel before they enter the promised land, and he is telling them about three major religious feasts that they must keep. These are mandatory religious feasts that they must attend, the men must attend, down in Jerusalem. And we already looked at Passover, and that is combined with the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. And now we come to verse 9, and God says, count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Now, that means 7 weeks after the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the previous feast, the first feast, 7 days after, seven weeks, after the end of that first feast was another holy day. In verse 10 it says, then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. On the 50th day after the end of Passover week was the day of Pentecost. The Israelites were to bring an offering to God, he said. Now, this offering was to be above and beyond their tithe, and there was no set amount, if you noticed. It was to be a free will offering. But he does lay down a general guideline. He says it should be according to how God has blessed them. Verse 11, and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, you, your sons and your daughters, your men servants and maid servants, the Levites in your towns, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows living among you. God says, make the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, a good time. Make it a good time. Let it be a celebration of my goodness. That's what this was about. Verse 12, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. When they decide how much to offer the Lord, this free will offering, when they are deciding how much to give, they are instructed to recall how rotten things were for them when they were slaves in Egypt. In other words, remember what great things God has done for you when you are considering what you are going to offer him at this religious festival. Verse 13, celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. And so this is the third major religious festival, the Feast of Tabernacle. This feast is sometimes called the Feast of Ingathering, and that is because the barley harvest began way back on Passover, the wheat harvest was 50 days later on Pentecost, and before this Feast of Tabernacles, or before this Feast of Ingathering began, the grape and the olives and the other summer fruits had also been harvested. That's why the name Feast of Ingathering, all the ingathering had been done. And this is going to be a real celebration for the Israelites. Verse 14, be joyful at your feast, you, your sons, and your daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. Notice, you talk about God's commandments. God commanded them to be happy. You be happy. you have a good time at this festival. And this Feast of Tabernacles really was to be a celebration of God's goodness, a celebration of His provision, as seen in the harvest that preceded it. And they really did have a good time at this one. Lots of music, lots of stuff to eat and drink. They had a good time with the Lord, and that's the way He wanted it. 15. For 7 days celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all your work, or all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Eating, drinking, entertainment, and celebration for 7 days. Celebrating God and giving thanks for all His goodness. That's what happened here. That's what this religious ceremony, this religious festival was all about. It tells me that God likes having a good time. And He wants His obedient people to join Him. There was no sin involved in this. It was just good fun, good rejoicing for the Lord and His great provisions. Verse 17. Verse 16. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place He will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. God says, you're going to have these three religious festivals, and they are going to be observed at the place I will tell you. And that place turned out to be Jerusalem. Now, some quote-unquote ministries today are there just to keep on being there. That is their purpose for being, is to keep on being. They are mostly about asking for money. They have a one-hour show on television. 45, 50 minutes of it is promoting themselves, trying to earn money for themselves. And then they maybe throw in a 10-minute message from the Word of God, if that. That is not right. But neither is it right to ignore the ministry of giving. The ministry of giving to God's legitimate work. There were three annual mandatory feasts. And God says, don't forget to bring an offering. According to what you want to give, He says. But give something. Verse 17. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And that's what I like about God. He lets us give out of our appreciation to Him. Give according to how generous you want to be to God. That is what He says. Verse 18. He really shifts gears here. He says, appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. God emphasizes local government here. Local government is biblical. Local government is where most governing should take place. Strong and righteous local governments are much more cost-effective and much more productive than a huge central government. Verse 19. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Command from God to all judges and other civil authorities. You are there to uphold justice. You are there to promote right and prohibit wrong. Do your job as a service to the people, and more importantly, do your job as a service to the God who you will give an account to. 20. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. In other words, uphold justice, or you're not going to be around very long. And that maxim isn't just true for ancient Israel. Great empires, which had mighty militaries, have crumbled because of their own injustice and moral rot. Chapter 17, verse 1. Do not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep that has any defect or flaw in it, for that would be detestable to him. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, had no sin. That is why his offering to God for our sins on the cross was effective, because he was without sin. Now, all animal sacrifices found in the Old Testament pictured the cross of Jesus Christ in one way or another. That is why God said none of them could have any physical defects. It would destroy the type. Verse 2. If a man or a woman living among you in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God in violation of his covenant. Stop there for a second. Everyone sins. In the good that they do not do, and in the bad that they do do. The sin spoken of here in verse 2 refers to breaking the covenant of God, the covenant that he made with his people. Primarily, that refers to the Ten Commandments, specifically commandment number 1, verse 3. And contrary to my command, has worshipped other gods, bowing down to them, or to the sun, or the moon, or the stars of the sky. And so, worshipping other so-called gods, or maybe giving dead people or heavenly bodies or some sort of graven image credit for mercies received and blessings received, that sort of thing is spiritual adultery to Almighty God, and he forbids it, and he is serious. Notice verse 4. If somebody is caught doing this, verse 4, and this has been brought to your attention, then you must investigate it thoroughly. If it is true, and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel. Stop there for a second before we go any further. God is saying here in verse 4, do not jump to conclusion. Do not jump to conclusions when judging people. You know, the idea that someone must be considered innocent until proven guilty comes right from the Lord himself. Verse 5. Take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate and stone that person to death. See, if there was no reasonable doubt about the person's guilt, he or she must be executed. God hates sin. It is a big deal to him, and this law underlines that fact. Verse 6. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Notice how much value God places on human life. It had to be from the mouth of a witness, not just a handwritten testimony, but the testimony against a person had to be from the mouth of the witness. And not just one witness, but at least two. God made it tough on DAs. That's the way he designed it. If there is not at least two eyewitnesses who give verbal testimony, testimony that agrees, the defendant walks. Verse 7, and we'll stop with this today. The hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting him to death. In the hands of all the people, then the hands of all the people. You must purge the evil from among you. Having the eyewitness throw the first rock was another way to help ensure the truthfulness of their testimony. For there aren't many not many people who would give false testimony against someone if they had to pull the switch, or if they had to stand there and inject the poison or fire the rifle. And so again, we see God taking great care to protect innocent life. We'll stop there. Until next time, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.